ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नहं तु सख्यो भजतो भिजन्तुम् भजाम्यमीशं मनोवृत्तिवृत्तये यथा धनो लब्धा धने विनस्ते तच्चिन्तयान्यन्निवृत्तो न वेद नहं तु शक्यो भजतोऽपि जन्तुम् भजाम्यमीशं मनोवृत्तिवृत्तये यथा धनो लब्धा धने विनस्ते तश्चिन्तयान्निवृत्तो न वेद नाहम् I do not to on the other hand, so the word to is a very important word. It changes the topic. It means also on the other hand, it means like but, like you could say, usually it is warm in Melbourne, but today it is very cold. So it changes the topic and it adds a new concept. So that point will come up and be relevant later on. Krishna willing. Sakya, O friends, Bhajata, worshipping, Api, even, Jantum, with living beings. Bhajami, reciprocate. Amisham, there. Anuvritti, propensity for pure love. Vrittaye, in order to impel. So this first part of the verse is saying something. The first part of the first part of the concept that Krishna wishes to explain. He's saying that I do not reciprocate with the living beings with their propensity for loving me. I do not reciprocate, O friends, O sakis. I do not reciprocate with them, even if they're expressing their propensity to love me. Then we go on to the second half. Yata. Just as. Now Krishna's going to give an example here. Yata. Just as. Adhana. A poor man. Labha. Having obtained dhane, wealth, vinaste, and it being lost. Now what's going to happen to a poor man, a man who has been extremely poor, poverty stricken, and then suddenly, somehow or another, by good fortune or his work, hard work, he gains a great amount of wealth. So what would be the mood of someone who is poor and then gains great wealth? He feels so happy, he feels so satisfied, like he's achieved the goal of his life. But then, vinaste means it is lost. He loses that very same wealth and he's returned to his poverty-stricken condition. Now, what is the consciousness of that person? That's what Krishna is explaining. And he's saying, just as he's giving an example to show what, to illustrate what, why he doesn't reciprocate with the love that the devotees approach him with. So please listen carefully. Of that, meaning referring to the lost wealth, chintaya, with anxious thought, anyat, anything else, nibritta, filled, naveda, does not know. He doesn't know anything else. Once he loses that wealth, nothing, no other thought enters his mind. He becomes naveda of that. He does not know anything else. Nibritta, he is filled with that. Chintya, anxious thoughts. Anyat, nothing else. Nothing else over the anxious thoughts about how to regain the wealth that he so much values. It is easy to understand that when one always has something, whether it's wealth or good health or a good place to live or peace, one tends to take it for granted because one doesn't know anything other than that situation. But one, if one has been poor, then gains wealth, then there is a great contrast in his consciousness. And then when he loses that wealth that he has gained, he's remembering it continuously, thinking about his misfortune, his consciousness, nibritta, filled with thoughts of the wealth and how to regain that wealth and considering himself so unfortunate. But Krishna is using this as an example to explain his dealings with living entities. So let's read the translation and then read the purport here and then we'll perhaps read the commentary of Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur and discuss all of this further in the frame of reference of the particular situation that Krishna and the gopis are in at this moment. So here is the translation. But the reason I do not immediately reciprocate the affection of living beings, even when they worship me, O gopis, is that I want to intensify their loving devotion. Then they become like a poor man who has gained some wealth and then lost it, and thus becomes so anxious that he can think of nothing else. Please repeat. But the reason I do not immediately reciprocate the affection of living beings, even when they worship me,
even when they worship me,
O gopis, is that I want to intensify their loving devotion. Then they become like a poor man who has gained some wealth and then lost it, and who thus becomes so anxious about it that he can think of nothing else. Okay, without looking at the board, who remembers something from this verse? Yes. Thank you. Anything else? Excuse me? Jantor means living beings. Yes, okay, thank you. Anything else? Yes, this is the purpose. He wants to intensify their love. What else?
We were
Krishna wants to increase the loving devotion. Now there's some tricky points in this, in fact, and Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur will explain them. But I'm going to read it again. But this time, please try to listen to the different elements of the verse. Because it is very important. Tell me these thoughts don't enter your mind sometimes. I'm trying to become a devotee. But, is Krishna reciprocating with me? What is the reason he's not reciprocating with me? Is he not there? Does he not hear me? Is it that I'm completely insincere? Is it that something's not working properly? What's the reason? Now that's on perhaps the sadhaka level. And of course Krishna is speaking on the highest siddha level, the uttama level, the uttama level, the topmost level of his greatest devotees, or the greatest devotees in existence, but yet there is relevance in this even for us, or even for me, such a lowly creature. So please listen, and then we'll read the purport. I'll read the translation again. I may even ask, what do you remember again? But the reason, because remember what has just happened. Krishna has explained 9 different categories of devotees, of beloveds, in 3 different verses. And the gopis had, and this was in response to the question that the gopis had asked Krishna about what type of a lover are you? There are 3 different types. Those who are doing business reciprocate equally. The second type, does anyone remember from the previous days? Yes, thank you. And in those, there are 2 categories. The merciful, the kripalu, and the parental one, who have a physical, some bandha relationship. So that's 3 already. The business person, the kripalu, the merciful devotees, and the parents, who are also merciful, but with familial bodily relationship. And then the third kind, there were 4 kinds. And then the 4th of the 4 kinds was divided into 3 different categories. So without speaking about the categories of the third kind, of the 4th kind, of the 4th one in the third kind, what were the 4 categories in the third kind of lover that Krishna explained? Atmaram, someone who is completely self-satisfied. They're looking within. They don't need anything external. Their consciousness is so focused internally that they feel no need to reciprocate with anyone. Second?
Materially satisfied.
In the Sanskrit? Aptakam. Yes, aptakam. I'm satisfied. All my desires are fulfilled externally. Third kind, the ungrateful, akrita gya. Ungrateful, gya also means knowledge. So ungrateful means without knowledge. A person without acting as if he's unaware of how someone is giving him so many things. And just is thinking, why aren't they giving me more? I don't have enough. Ungrateful, what they don't deserve anything from me. I don't have any. They should give. Who cares? And the fourth? Guru Druha. Which means? Superiors who are supporting. Yes, inimical. The reciprocation is inimical. Not only ungrateful, but worse. Inimical. And there's with logical reasons to be inimical, without. And like that. So there are different categories. So therefore, after Krishna saying that, describing those nine different categories of lovers, he says this verse. But is the first English word. That's the word to. In a different category, but the reason that I do not immediately reciprocate the affection of living beings, even when they worship me, O gopis. So he's saying that he's in none of those categories. The gopis have tried to place him in three categories, making Krishna explain or place himself, admit his impropriety of action, and place himself in one of those three categories. Krishna has expanded his explanation of those three categories into nine, and now he's saying, but I'm not in any of those categories. Now, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary, he will connect, fill in the space in one sense, between or fluff out in wonderful explanations the connection between why Krishna is saying this at this particular point after explaining the nine different categories. So he'll furnish some information in between the previous verse and this verse. But in any case, Krishna is saying, but the reason I do not immediately reciprocate the affection of living beings, even when they worship me, O gopis, is that I want to intensify their loving devotion. What does Krishna want? What does Krishna want? Intent to intensify the loving devotion of his devotees. Now one can ask the question, why does Krishna want to intensify the loving affection or the loving devotion of those who are devoted to him already? He wants to intensify. What does intensify mean?
Magnify.
Yes, to magnify, yes. To magnify, to increase, to make more dense and concentrated, to increase the quality of the devotion of those who love him.
Because
it's utmost benediction. Yeah, so that's the question is, why does Krishna want to do that? So it is certainly, as any person, Krishna is also a person, and he loves the love of his devotees. It is completely natural. We love to be loved because Krishna, who we are part and parcel of, loves to be loved. This is the happiness of every person, to be loved. And we reject the love of this world and become hard-hearted and callous because we become so cynical about the love of this world when we see its true nature is not actually love, that it's just selfishness, and the love of this world turns into frustration and fighting so easily because it is not true love. So we turn our back on love in this world, and the older one gets, one becomes more and more and more cynical about loving relationships. Are they really possible? Or is this the continued exploitation? Is that the only thing that truly exists? But yet, it is completely natural to desire love. And the callousness and the hardness of heart that accompanies material existence is just because we're dealing with the reflection of love in the material world. Bansha tari balo kam. It is just kam. It is not truly love. Lust. It is lust. It is not true love. Atmendriya priti. It is selfishness, desire to satisfy one's own senses. And we can accuse others of being like that. But we are also amongst the group of others who are like that. We all deserve each other in the material world. It is completely natural. So Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, loves to be loved. In fact, in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, Patram pushpam palam toyam yomam bhakti prayasati taraham bhakti paritam asnami paritamana. That Krishna will even accept a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water if it is given. Asnami means I will take it, I will accept it, I will eat it. If bhakti paritam, it is given with love. Patram pushpam palam toyam yomam bhakti. That if it is given with love. This is bhakti yoga. And there is one lecture I heard where Prabhupada was given, that he had given, and he was saying even to chant Krishna's name mechanically is an offense. Because we are meant to chant Krishna's names with love, and then the reciprocation is there. Completely from Krishna. And that's what Krishna wants. And it's sort of a simple point, even if I'm calling you, but my mind's doing something else, if I'm calling your name, even Adrian, but my mind's just a quarter on it or an eighth on it, then you also don't take it seriously. No one takes it seriously. But if someone really wants you to come, or needs your attention, and they say your name with intensity. That means, what is the difference in my consciousness when I say someone's name with intensity, when I say it in distraction? What to speak of intensity with love? It's a difference of consciousness or attitude. So that is what Krishna wants. And indeed, that is also the greatest benediction for each and every living entity, to have intense love, intense loving relationship with Krishna. There is nothing else to be gained in this world. Why do we make such extreme statements like that? There is nothing else to be gained in this world. This means all the other things that I do, all the materialism and selfish and bodily, family, nation-oriented activities, they're all useless. So not useless on one level, but useless on another level. They are temporary, and on that level they are useless. And if we make them, because temporary means whatever we gain on that level we will lose. So what is the value of gaining something that you will quickly lose? What is the value of working your whole life, using all your energy of life to gain something that in a few moments, a few twinkling of the eyes, will be gone? What is the value of that? Undergoing so much austerity, pain, difficulty, struggling for existence in the material world to gain something that's going to vanish within the whirlpool of continued time. But yet those things, even the body, even everything, can be used to develop our love for Krishna, which is the actual gain. Prema Pramato Mahan. Panchama Purushartha. It's the fifth item to be gained and topmost. And it is the great benediction for the living entity if somehow or another at least move forward on this path towards love for Krishna. So Krishna wants to intensify that love. So it becomes everything for us. So again, this isn't exactly relevant for the Braja Gopis, because it is already relevant, everything for them. They have increased the intensity of their love to the limit. Now, at this very moment, examine your own heart, your own consciousness, and see how much love for Krishna is in there. And then think about that statement that the Braja Gopis have increased, or their love for Krishna, and you can't even say is increased, because it's Nitya Siddha Krishna Premi. It is ever existing within the hearts of the Nitya Siddha Premi Gopis. But it is unlimitedly intense and dense within their heart. And compare that to the poverty stricken heart here. As we hear about what real love is, our fortune will increase. So Krishna says, but the reason I do not immediately reciprocate the affection of living beings even when they worship me, O gopis, is that I want to intensify their loving devotion. Then they become like a poor man who has gained some wealth and then lost it, who has become so anxious about it that he can think of nothing else. Purport. Lord Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, yayatam mam prapadyante tam stataiva bhajamyaham. As people approach me, what chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is that? Fourth. What verse?
11.
As people approach me, I reciprocate with them accordingly. Yet even if the Lord is approached by someone with devotion, and by the way, that shows how perfect Krishna is and explains why atheists don't see Krishna and devotees see him everywhere, atheists see him nowhere. Because the atheists approach him with, they approach him with nothing. They have nothing for him. And they see nothing. Yet even if the Lord is approached by someone with devotion, to intensify the devotee's love, the Lord may not immediately reciprocate fully. In fact, the Lord is truly reciprocating. What appears to be a non-reciprocation is a conscious attempt to intensify the devotee's feeling of separation and longing and wanting to be with Krishna. After all, a sincere devotee always prays to the Lord, please help me to love you purely. Therefore, the Lord's so-called neglect is actually the fulfillment of the devotee's prayer. Because the devotees want to increase their love, please let me serve you, please accept me. Meaning of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Oh Lord, please engage me in your service, or a meaning of it. So this is Krishna's way of increasing our ability to engage in a service by increasing our desire to be with Krishna, to serve Krishna. Therefore, the Lord's so-called neglect is actually the fulfillment of the devotee's prayer. Lord Krishna intensifies our love for him by apparently separating himself from us, and the result is that we achieve what we really wanted and prayed for, intense love for the Absolute Truth, Krishna. Thus Lord Krishna's apparent negligence is actually his thoughtful reciprocation and the fulfillment of our deepest and purest desire. Now what question comes to mind here? Or does any question come to mind at this point? There may be many different ones, yeah.
One starts doubting whether Krishna is associating with my prayers or not.
Yeah.
Then he's doubting.
And then what does the doubting mind tend to do when one thinks, well, Krishna's not, he's not reciprocating with me, and he's not hearing me, and then?
Faith is affected.
Then the faith is affected. Which way is it affected?
Negatively.
Huh?
Negative.
Negatively. On the faith of meter. And then?
Anger.
Huh?
Anger or frustration.
And then?
Anger, frustration.
And then further the turning the back on Krishna. So
take shelter of the material
energy. At least that reciprocates with me by kicking me. This sometimes happens. When Krishna is not engaging us, if we're thinking that Krishna is not engaging with us, then we tend to turn our back on Krishna even further. Where is Krishna's, the effectiveness in Krishna's mentality if that's how we react? I'm asking that question. Yes. That does happen. But we also see that some people get swallowed by the shock of Maya. Tests it? In what sense?
In that if Krishna doesn't reciprocate us and we don't reciprocate with him, then we're trying to be the first one.
We're trying to be the...
The first example.
Yes, not trying to be, but we are just simply doing business with Krishna. Just like little children. You know, they... You know, they're playing together, and one of the child takes little babies, like 2-year-olds or something. One of the babies takes something of the other ones, and the other one picks up a big wooden block or something, and everything is nice. But then, of course, they forget it again immediately because they're children. But. We're like that. Who are we keeping in the center if we're like that? You know, that's what Prabhupada that's what Prabhupada called God is the order supplier. The order supplier means, you know, the words are obvious what it means, but in India specifically there's a type of a shopkeeper who he doesn't carry everything in his shop, but what he does is you give him your order. And in Vrindavan, then the next day he sends his man to Delhi and he'll pick up whatever you want. You put on your list and add his profit onto it and then he'll bring it back to you. So you write your list and his business is to supply, fulfill your desires. But that is not Krishna. He is the Lila Purushottam. He's the topmost person. He is the one who's Swatantra. What does Swatantra mean? He is independent. You can't force him to do anything. Even if you go, you know, if you don't do what I want, I'm going to take my toys and go home. You just can't force him to do anything. Completely. Yes. Completely independent. So he wants us to understand something. who he is and what our relationship with him is. And then the relationship, in fact, begins. When we give ourselves to him and surrender to him, that is the surrender is the doorway to true bhakti. That you one has to walk through before one actually can begin Shuddha Bhakti, Anya Vilasita Sunyam Jnana Kama Anavrita. So my dear devotees, watch the mentalities that go on all the time. Well, not all the time, for everyone. But watch the mentality, how quickly the mind will turn its back on Krishna, and the false ego will begin to rage when Krishna dares to not fully surrender to us as he should and fulfill all our desires. This is Maya. This is Maya. And this is the great battle that needs to be fought. And the battle is one of surrender. And therefore Krishna's final words in the Bhagavad Gita, practically speaking, are Savadamam Pratyajam Mamekam Sharanam Braja. He's saying directly, this is what you want to do. This is what you must do. If you want to become a devotee, if you want to transcend, if you want to go to Goloka Vrindavan and serve, you must surrender. You must return to your true shelter. Sharanam means shelter. Because when we think of surrender, what do we think of? Someone pointing a gun at us and we go like this. That's not exactly what Krishna wants. Well, because that surrender is not out of anything but terror. Surrender sometimes means, it does mean do as you're told. But that's not what it ultimately means. Sometimes it means do as you're told, because this mind, it rages so much. There's no reasoning with it. Sometimes it just has to stop and do what you're told. But that's not the mature surrender. Mature surrender is sharanagati, out of love. And like the gopis, they're the most surrendered servants of Krishna. So surrender, like faith in Krishna consciousness, is something that must increase only. Although Shraddha means the seed of devotion is faith. But it's not that one surpasses the faith stage and then goes on to the next stage. It's not that one surpasses the surrender stage and then goes on to the unsurrendered stage or something like that. No. Because love means surrender, a surrendering of the self to the beloved, but not forced, not out of fear, not out of terror, but out of love. And that is what we long for. So Krishna deals with his devotees in a very specially tailored way out of his great affection for all living entities to bring them closer to him. And when we leave Krishna, even if it's for a few moments, or a few years, or hundreds of years, or hundreds of births, because of our arrogantly saying, turning our back on Krishna, still Krishna doesn't leave us. Even for the non-devotees, sarvasya chaham videsana visto matya smitam jnanam apavanam cha. Vedes chasavaraham eva vidyo vedantakrit. Veda vedeva cham, that's for the devotees. He's always reminding the devotees what their business is and where they should go and what is valuable and what is not valuable. He reminds in so many ways. So although we may turn our back on him, he does not turn his back on us, because he is not the businessman type of lover. Oh, you don't love me? That's the way we are. We're saying, oh, you're not reciprocating with me, Krishna, therefore I'm turning my back on you. But actually all we're seeing is our own mind, because we're not reciprocating with Krishna. We're seeing him as not reciprocating with us. We're only seeing our own mind. And the last paragraph of this purport. According to the Acharyas, as Lord Krishna began to speak the verse, the gopis looked at one another with squinting eyes, trying to hide the smiles breaking out on their faces, because Krishna is beginning to place himself in a category, and this is what they wanted. And they're loving that he's going to explain, he's opening his heart to them. So, and he's falling into the trap caused by their riddle, where they asked him to describe the different types of lovers, subtly asking him to place himself in those categories. Even as Lord Krishna was speaking, the gopis had begun to realize that he was bringing them to the highest perfection of loving service. Now, the comment of Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur was quite wonderful. All of it. Now, part of it takes place more or less in between the previous verse and Krishna speaking this verse. So Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur and all the acharyas explain why they often fill in, because sometimes the connection between one verse and another isn't so apparent, or sometimes it's apparent, but by the spiritual brilliance of the acharyas, they make it even more wonderful, the connection. So the last verse was what again? It's hard enough to remember what this verse was, and you're asking me about what the last verse was? Excuse me? Yeah. Atmarama, Aptakama, Akritagya, and Gurudroha. Okay. So after explaining those nine, the gopis say, Krishna, you are not amongst the examples given in your answers to the first and second question. So the first question, Krishna's first answer was the businessman, basically. That type of a lover. You are not like that, because you are not a selfish materialist. And your answer, you're not also amongst the second category either, because you're neither kripalu, you're not a merciful devotee, nor are you a parent, a mother or a father. So the first two are out. We cancel those out. And that leaves, by the way, only one more category, which is the third one, the third category. Now, in the third category, it may be Guru Droha, it may be one of those, maybe, we're not saying anything, but it could be one of those. But in that third group of the Atmaram, to come, Akritagya, Guru Droha, which one are you? You're clearly not in the first two. So Krishna begins to answer. You want to hear my defeat from my own mouth, don't you? You want me to admit my faults? confess everything. O Sakis, who are smiling and glancing at each other in great happiness, which is what explains in the purport, because they thought they had caught Krishna, so they're giggling and laughing about it. Because their love is always dominant. But in the ocean of their love, this is the science of rasa, in the ocean of their love, there are different varieties of waves that come through. And even one of those waves may be loving anger in the ocean of their mahabhav. So there may be different varieties of different vyabhachari bhavs or something in the ecstasy of their primal love, their fundamental love. So, but what's there is really love. So Krishna continues, in so much as I am Narayan, I am self-satisfied. So which one is self-satisfied?
Atmaram.
Because they're asking about the last four. And I am Purnakam. I have all my desires are fulfilled. So I'm also the second one. Which is the second one? Up to come. As Lord Narayan, I am those two. But as Nandanandana, as the son of Nanda Maharaj, I am neither of those two. Because they asked him, which of these four are you? They really want to get him to say he's ungrateful and giving them so much pain and inimical. But Krishna is very hard to catch. So I'm neither of these two, because as a simple coward boy, I have not studied Niti Shastra. I am a Kritagya. A Kritagya again means that's the ungrateful, but it also means I have no knowledge, I haven't studied anything, not even Niti Shastra, the proper way to act. So I'm not doing this like that. So I'm not that as a simple coward boy. I'm not Atmaram, I'm a coward boy. And you see, I'm herding the cows all the time. And all my desires are unfulfilled. I'm just a coward boy, the son of Nanda Maharaj. And also I'm ignorant, a kritagya. But as Lord Narayan, I am not a kritagya, I am kritagya. I know everything. So he's starting to go in circles here with them. I am kritagya and all-knowing, and also I am completely grateful. I am Guru Drohi for having hurt you. So now he's saying, I'm this side and I'm this side. I've hurt you, so I'm Guru Drohi. You've come to me with great love and I've disappeared, so I'm Guru Drohi. I've abandoned you after having shown you favor so many times by enjoying pastimes with you. But also, I am not Guru Drohi because I gave you the ecstasy of seeing me again. I came back. Then the gopis say, well then, because he's saying I'm not any of these, I'm all of these. Then to which class, the gopis say, do you belong? Which class of lover do you belong? And Krishna's reply is, I belong to none of these classes. And with the word naham, that's the first thing he says. I, none of them, none of them. And then Vishwanath says, the word to, on the other hand, or but, expresses the introduction of a contrary idea, a different category of idea. But I do not reciprocate, I do not respond to any living entity that respects or worships me. I'm not in any of these. I don't respond, but not for these reasons. And the gopis point out this to him and say, but then how is that different from the Guru Drohi group who don't respond that you previously explained, and you're saying you're not in that category of? And Krishna says, for those surrendered souls, now listen to this very carefully, please. For those surrendered souls who worship me through Namakirtan and other means, I do not respond. For what purpose? In order to make their worship more perfect. How is that? O gopis of Balakan, who cannot understand my real intentions, not seeing me, those who are worshiping me through Namakirtan and other means, not seeing me, those surrendered souls, they are surrendered souls. There's one category of non-surrendered souls and not seeing Krishna, even though they're devotees, they turn from Krishna, the ones we were talking about before, but that simply will not do. We have to come to the point to enter truly in bhakti marg. We have to come to the point of surrender, making Krishna everything for us, non-flinching in that, regardless of how he reciprocates. But for those surrendered souls who are beyond that stage of, if you don't give me what I want, I'm going to go away from you and I'll show you how much I'm going to suffer. I'll teach you. Not like that. But those surrendered souls, they develop deep humility, feeling, alas, alas, everything I have done has been useless. Because I'm an offender, Krishna has not shown me even the slightest favor. Let me be damned. By constantly thinking in this way, those who have not yet developed mature love for me will become free from lust and anger and awaken pure devotion full of power and brilliance. Through this type of deep humility and lamentation, through this type of sincerity, through this type of introspective fault-finding, for all of us who like to find faults, this is the true way to do it. Find fault with oneself. And through this deep humility and lamentation, then one's heart becomes deeply cleansed, and then pure devotion awakens, full of power and brilliance. That's what Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says. Then he continues. So that's one type. Those who are surrendered, but not yet on the highest of high levels. So this is how he deals with them and why he reciprocates with them by appearing to not reciprocate with them. However, the nature of those who have already mature love for me, who already have Krishna prema, who are on a much, much higher level, who already have that deep humility and that intense and brilliant love, for them, it is different. For them, I do not respond. I do not respond with them either. But for a different reason. In order to increase their attachment for me, I appear and then disappear in order to deepen their loving attachment. In this regard, an analogy to those who already have prema is given by the words beginning with yatta. So that's the analogy. It's for those who have attachment to Krishna. Because if one doesn't have something, then if they lose it, then they don't feel the loss at all. But this analogy is specifically for those who have attachment for Krishna, the prema bhakti. When a poor man gains wealth and then loses it, he becomes nibrita. What does nibrita mean? Filled. filled with thoughts of that wealth, and he cannot think of anything else, even eating, even drinking. Those who have attained prema, and then lose the Lord, apparently react similarly to this. And Krishna continues, "In this way, I am actually merciful. It is desirable for my worshippers to have this complete attachment to me. Thus, to increase that attachment more and more, I, even though externally failing to reciprocate with them, invisibly reciprocate very much with them." Although you gopis are the ideal examples of those who worship, even who worship even those who do not worship them. So now Krishna is speaking to them by saying, you are really the Kripalu. You are the Sumadhyama. You are those who, that middle category of devotees whose love is causelessly flowing continuously. You gopis are the ideal examples of those who worship even those who do not worship them. Although that's true, I too am actually very merciful, as much as you are, since I have given you the gift of my darshan. I've come back to you. One should not think that only if I am present that I am, that I am responding, and if I'm absent, I do not respond. For then my promise, yayatamam prapadyante tamstatarva bhajam yaham, I would respond accordingly as they worship me, would be broken. And that's the end of Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's comment. So you think it is over yet? Who Krishna is saying there's no, that I was very, very, very merciful all along? And then the gopi is saying, yes, is it over? No, it's not over. So tomorrow we shall continue with hearing Krishna's reply and how and what and in between Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur will explain the gopis, their mood in response, spiritually brilliantly explain the gopis' mood in response to these words spoken by Krishna, which are very, very, very sweet. Very, very, very instructive, etc. But it is not over yet. Okay, there's no time for questions because it's so late.
Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhaktivin.